This is Radio Superior 1955. A reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here, a rockin' your world. It's Friday, November 11th, 1955. We've got great news from Lou's News, my favorite creepy cat, the museum curator on Chippewa history. Don't forget, he was there. And what's your favorite TV show?
Besides Saturday morning cartoon.
They send me. We're also going to have everybody recorded, so no one except you and me will be live.
What a relief. Life has always been messy.
No, oh, but we'll be lonely. Lignell Rexall Drug is footing the light bill for the 6 o'clock news. My cats and kittens under 16 can win great toy values, including a Betsy Wetsy baby doll for the girls and a Western-style holster set with two Texan Junior guns. Lou, you got it, Daddy-O.
Thanks, Tim, and good listeners. An eternally grateful like thanks the nation and the world as he heads home from Denver after his heart attack. And the Geneva Conference may be stalled, as the Soviets say, niet to Allied proposals. We begin our world report from Denver.
This is Ernest B. Vaccaro, Associated Press. A grateful President Eisenhower left Denver for Washington after telling of his thanks to all who have aided him in his recovery from illness. Speaking from the ramp of the Columbine 3 in raw, damp, 36-degree weather this morning, the President said his illness made him aware of how good people are. Looking surprisingly well, the President told an audience of Air Force personnel and friends and dignitaries that the force at Fitzsimmons Army Hospital and at the Lowry Air Force Base had, quote, earned my eternal gratitude, end quote. He expressed appreciation, too, for the messages of friendship and to people around the world who had sent up their prayers for his recovery when he was stricken with a heart attack 7 weeks ago. A crowd of several thousand persons turned out to bid farewell to the beaming president along the six-mile drive from the hospital to the airstrip at Lowry Air Force Base. Riding in a big black limousine with Mrs. Eisenhower and Mrs. John Dowd, his mother-in-law, the president waved a greeting all along the way. Just before he left the hospital grounds, a group of youngsters turned up on the curb holding a big sign which read, "Good Luck, Ike." In Denver, this is Ernest B. Vaccaro.
This is Stan Turner in Geneva, Switzerland. Secretary of State John Foster Dulles told Russia today the United States is willing to extend President Eisenhower's aerial inspection plan to America's foreign bases and scores of allied countries if the Soviet Union will accept the plan. Dulles made the announcement in a Big Four conference meeting here. Soviet Minister V.M. Molotov rejected the proposal yesterday as a first step toward creation of a global disarmament program. Dulles says he hopes Molotov's statement is not the last word. Dulles assailed Molotov's criticism of the Eisenhower plan point by point, including the Russian contention that the plan would increase the risk of war because it would give countries information about each other's military and therefore make surprise attack more easy. To this, Dulles replied, quote, "The Soviet Union has ample information about the U.S. military establishment, and the United States is not totally ignorant about the Soviet military establishment. Both of us know enough to attack each other and what is required as a deterrent to an attack, such as mutual aerial inspection," end quote. The ministers have spent 37 hours in formal session here since they convened October 27th, only to find Soviet resistance to German unity through free elections and to Western proposals on disarmament and East-West contact as steadfast as ever. Ironically, the ministers required only 5 minutes this afternoon to reach an agreement on the quitting date set for next Wednesday. The conference so far has been notable mainly that Soviet foreign policy tactics have taken the most radical shift since the death of Joseph Stalin 2 years ago in 1953. The softer line of Soviet strategy of last summer has been replaced by a return to much harder tactics. For the first time since the Kremlin started its more conciliatory approach, a Soviet spokesman has been speaking out in blunt, uncompromising terms on great issues. Foreign Minister Molotov has made it unmistakably clear that the major aims of Soviet world policies remain unchanged. In Geneva, this is Stan Turner.
This is Ray Tucker's Views from Washington. The belated British admissions about the Donald McLean Guy Burgess betrayal of vital Allied secrets to Russia reveal the utter ineptitude of the Anglo-American intelligence before, during, and after World War II. This cast a pall over the Geneva Conference and supports the suspicions of Alan Dulles' Central Intelligence Agency. McLean and Burgess were important figures in the British Foreign Service, serving here and in London in posts that provided them with access to secret atomic data and our military strategy in the Far East and Europe. They fled to Russia in 1951, which the British admit publicly only now. But the new and astonishing development is that they were betraying Britain to the communists more than 20 years ago when they were university students. Two others cleared by the British authorities and therefore not investigated by the FBI were confessed spies, Klaus Fuchs and British physicist Alan Nunn May, who were given extremely sensitive spots at the Los Alamos laboratory. They were not detected until years after they had enabled Russia to develop atomic weapons, at least 10 years before our experts had anticipated. In Washington, this is Ray Tucker, Views the News.
This is Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Douglas Larson reporting. They have prepared for history to strike here again. This time it takes the form of moving the functions of the White House to Ike's 496-acre farm on the edge of town when the president is ready to make the trip here. History struck here first, of course, when the Union and the Confederacy clashed in the bloody Civil War Battle of Gettysburg, where 7,000 men died and 27,000 were wounded. But now Gettysburg citizenry is inclined to rate Ike's arrival ahead of the neatly stacked cannonballs, rusty field pieces, and stone monuments which line the highway into town. During the remainder of Ike's term, much of the work of the White House will be done in Gettysburg. Preparations include two telephone cables, each with 26 lines, which have already been strung into Ike's residence. This new communication line will be used for telecasting presidential messages or speeches direct from his home. This year, Ike bought a 21-acre section of land which borders both his property and the official National Battlefield Preserve. Workmen are busily putting up a fence around this new section to aid the security efforts of the Secret Service. In Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is Douglas Larson.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Lignell Rexall Drug.
Hey, cats and kittens, you can enter this contest now at Lignell's. Boys and girls win a wonderful prize in this big, exciting Rexall contest. It starts today. You qualify if you're 16 or younger. Hurry now to our Rexall drugstore and learn how easy it is to win. Win a boy's grand prize of a Columbia Fire Aero bicycle or a girl's grand prize of a Columbia Deluxe Speedliner bicycle. Other prizes include an electric freight train for the boys, flash outfit, race car, radio station, holster set. Some of the prizes for the girls, 3-speed record player, a beautifully dressed 25-inch walking bride doll, a baby carriage, a complete Betsy Wetsy baby doll, and a Brownie Hawkeye camera. Many more valuable prizes to boys and girls in addition to those illustrated. So come on in, see how easy it is to win a prize. Many of the prizes displayed in our window. That's the big celebration going on at Lignell Rexall Drug at 1022 Tower Avenue in Superior. Lou?
The case of Knut Einar Häkkinen, former editor of the Taiwanese Itipan, the Finnish American Daily in Superior, is stretching toward its 6th year. He will have to stand trial in U.S. court in Madison on December the 12th on charges of violation of the deportation order. In 1950, the FBI identified Häkkinen as one of the key communists in the nation. On November the 11th, 1953, exactly 2 years ago, he was indicted by a federal grand jury in Madison after failing to comply with the deportation order. Facing Judge Patrick Stone, he was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. The conviction was appealed to the U.S. Circuit Court. The court decreed a new trial. So December 12th begins the latest phase in the communist prosecution. The Superior Blues baseball team is moving to Wausau. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the latest.
The Wausau Lumberjacks are a step closer to joining the Class C Northern League with the announcement by Blues president Tom Fleming that Superior officials will send their sale proposal to Wausau immediately. If the Blues franchise is sold to Wausau, it will leave the door open for a Twin Ports club combining the Superior Blues and the Duluth Dukes. The Superior Civic Baseball Association took over the club 2 years ago when it carried an $11,000 debt. Fleming says a portion of the debt remains, and it is one of the reasons they are selling. Wausau has a population of 27,000, while Superior has 35,000. They also have a modern grandstand and bleachers that seat 6,000, while Blues Municipal Stadium opened in 1938. The first pro baseball team in Superior started in 1909 in the old Minnesota-Wisconsin League. They joined the Northern League in 1933. They were affiliated first with the St. Louis Browns, then the Brooklyn Dodgers, and since 1953 with the Chicago White Sox. The Blues won their first pennant that year under manager Dick Wade and their second in 1952 under Wally Millies, Lou.
Sad news. Some better news from the Douglas County Board. Supervisors Herb Thein, Joe Siddick, and Benjamin Pink were appointed by Board Chairman Jack Lynch to lure a steel company here. They'll meet with Clarence Scamser, John Wright, in an attempt to interest the firm of Johnson, Drake, and Piper of Minneapolis in a county-owned land for a steel prefabrication plant. The firm is offered to purchase the Knutson Brothers Shipping and Dry Dock Company in Superior for $1.8 million. They indicated that 1,000 men would eventually be hired. The firm was notified before the sale could be completed that the shipyard had been sold to a Superior group. Finally, Tim and good listeners, the Douglas County Board will no longer operate as part of the Parkland Hospital Sanitarium and Farm as a rest home. 25 elderly citizens will have to find a new place to live over the next year. Sanatorium Superintendent Helgi Pokima says that there's been a heavy increase in mentally ill patients there, and they'll need the extra space. Tim?
You know, my Uncle Oscar is there. He crafts leather stuff like ladies' purses and billfolds. Makes all of his Christmas gifts.
How long has he been there?
3 Christmases, because I have 3 wallets. Thanks, Newsmad Lou Martin. Now, a check with that oddball forecast for this Friday night, November 11th, 1955. We're supposed to be in a winter storm, but now it's late. But keep those warm threads ready, because snow will hit tonight into tomorrow, a low tonight of 10, with a wind hauling like Wolfman Jack at 25 miles per hour. Woof. All right, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, a new one from Fabs Domino. Yep, this is his handle, and I'm in love again on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
This is me, and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do. And I'm saving all my love in jail for you. Need your loving, and I need it bad. Just like a dog when he's gone. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Baby, won't you give your love to me? Any minute in money more. Pull me and warn me around no more. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Baby, don't you let your dog bite me. Thank you.
Pass Domino. It's big follow-up hipsy. Ain't that a shame? With I'm in Love Again on Kickin' KUWS. Hey, gang, you're invited to the grand opening at the Old Town Bar. Funny how it's old, but it's new. Get up a party and visit Superior's newest and finest bar, even though it's Old Town, because it's in Superior's Old Town District, East End, next to National Foods at 2217 East 2nd Street. Owners Ruth and E.M. Charbonneau welcome you and your friends in a delightful atmosphere. The grand opening is November 17, 1955, which is next Thursday. I have to keep saying the year so I can keep my head together. Up next, recorded radio with the Colonel. Let's jive to the five keys and Ling Ting Tong. New this year on Capitol Records on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
I smoke them boot, I ate. I smoke them boot.
I went to Chinatown, way back in old Hong Kong, to get some egg foo young. And then I heard a gong. Ling Ting Tong, got to sing. Smoke a boot, I smoke a boot. Ling Ting Tong, he would never be wrong. I want to sing your song, Ling Ting Tong. Ling Ting Tong, can you sing that song? Oh, I smoke a boot, I smoke a boot. Boondaye, I smoke a boot. Ling Ting Tong, he would never be wrong. Go on and sing your song, Ling Ting Tong. Ling Ting Tong, can you sing that song? Oh, I smoke a boondaye, I smoke a boot.
Waking up with the five keys and Ling Ting Tong on KUWS. Boy, it's lonely in here today. There's no one to play with because we're playing all recorded stuff. This from the National Guard. Colonel Raffaele and Engineer Joe worked all afternoon on this. Talk about an interesting team. All right, here goes.
Are we ready or am I going to be here all day trying to get it perfect?
Perfect. 78 takes so far. Shishman, are you ready?
You bet your britches, boy.
All right. National Guard of Superior spot, take 79.
Colonel Joseph P. Raffaele here, men. I'm a devil dog from the Great War, WW1, wishing all my fellow doughboys a good Veterans Day. Now, men of military age, including Korea and WW2 vets, earn and learn in advance with the National Guard of Superior. You can train in your hometown and still go to college. Although I don't know why anybody'd want to waste their time listening to some long-haired pinkos giving lectures, but that's beside the point. When the colonel got out of WW1, I went to work, right to work, carpentry and the like. Speakeasies needed hidden doors and rooms and blind pigs. It kept us doughboys busy for years. Anywho, in the Guard, you can learn things that are useful to you and to Uncle Sam, like radio communications, automobile and aviation mechanicals, and all kinds of other different things.
That's you can mechanics! You always get that one wrong.
Oh, for the love of God, don't say I have to do this all over again.
Oh, for the love of Mike, no. Just keep going, I'll fix it. Although I don't have much time, this is going to air in 10 minutes. Lou's almost done with his news. Stop that!
Radio producers are tyrants. There's advancement in the Guard. Even officer school. Never did like the...
Oh, that's it.
All right. Yeah. Put your little pixie dust on that, why don't you? Never did like officers much. Do this, do that, shoot this, don't shoot that. I hated the don't shoot that part. And you get retirement benefits. But listen up, men. Listen good. All that stuff, that's not what it's really all about.
Quit going off script. Thinks he's Colonel Ad-Lib.
This is what it's all about. So I'm going to tell it like it is. Every physically fit young man has an obligation to guard home and country. In peacetime, you'll protect life and property in floods, fires, hurricanes, and Democrats running amok. And if Khrushchev attacks, we'll be ready. Keep your guard up. Join the National Guard. Call the Superior Armory, Heavy Mortar Company, 128th Infantry at 44775. That's all.
They wanted it to be a 60-second announcement, but no. You've got to go on and on.
Oh, yeah,
and on
well, maybe I've
on.
Got something to say. Maybe I'm inspirational, you know. At least that's what my wife says.
Wow. That was a miracle, man. I'm going to play that tape at parties. Okay. Guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, here at the Charms and Heart of Stone on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Hearts made of stone. We'll never break it for the love you have for them. They're just the one thing you can ask them, please. Please, please, please break. And all your love is that thing. It's hard to stop. We'll God pain. Although you love them, they'll stop you just the same. You can ask them, please. Please, please, please break. And all your love.
And the Charms on Kickin' KUWS. You know, I don't like this recorded stuff, but, well, the boss thinks it's the way of the future, less dangerous or something.
Engineer Joe is missing the point of recorded bits. It's supposed to be edited so it's nice and smooth.
So this show should be as slick as a banana peel, but just not as much fun.
Considering all the shenanigans that go on during your show, I think it's a great idea. Next, we have a spot recorded by Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe, about an important chapter in Chippewa history.
Rollin'!
You want me to roll? I'm afraid I haven't done a somersault since Rasputin's birthday party at the Tsar's palace.
Just begin speaking. Tell your interesting story.
Yes, these are excerpts from a novel by Mr. Paul H. Raley of Chippewa Falls. It's a story of courage, suffering, and action by men of peace in the face of certain war.
I love stories of courage and peace in the face of certain war.
Would you be quiet? I'm next, and I want to get this over with. You know, and I like stories of courage and peace in the face of certain war, too.
Yes. The return of what was left of the Chippewa delegation in the winter of 1850 from Sandy Lake in central Minnesota threw the Chippewa people into an uproar, wanting a war of revenge against the broken promises of the white man's government and the Indian agency. Better to die in honorable battle, was the cry, after hundreds of Indian leaders from Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin died in what has become known as the Sandy Lake Death March. They were promised treaty payments for territory they ceded to the U.S. government, but none came. By the time they left Sandy Lake, winter had set in. Many starved to death or died from disease. A white fur trader who lived with the Chippewa, spoke their language, and was called friend, was Benjamin Armstrong. He saw trouble brewing and realized this betrayal could plunge the entire Lake Superior region into warfare. Armstrong proposed to the Chippewa chiefs that they go to Washington. There they could present their troubles to the Great White Father.
The President of the United States.
We figured that out, Einstein. Thank you very much.
Yes. The older chiefs were able to persuade the younger braves to accept Armstrong's offer. Armstrong would go along with the chiefs, led by Chiefs Buffalo and Osagie. Here's the truly amazing part of the story. The chiefs and four braves left La Pointe on Madeline Island by birch bark canoe in 1852. Much of their future depended on the success of this unlikely journey. Its failure meant bitter warfare. Armstrong drew up a petition asking the government to rescind the order requiring the removal of Chippewa bands from their own land. It was addressed to President Millard Fillmore. The Indian chiefs signed the petition by mark or emblem. Their 93-year-old Chief Buffalo and his delegation paddled their canoes one-fourth of the journey, walked and took a train for the last parts. It was the first time any of them had seen a train. By the time they reached New York, Armstrong had only a 10-cent silver piece. The Indians were told they could not proceed to Washington without a permit, since they were not citizens of the United States and could not travel freely. They were ordered to return to Lake Superior.
I'm outraged!
Kind of makes you wonder when the Indian head nickel was first made.
Yes, that was 1913. They stopped making the coins in 1938. By a stroke of great fortune, a U.S. Marshal saw that the delegation was unarmed and had peaceful intentions. On June 22nd, after several more close calls but incredible fortitude, they arrived in Washington only to be denied an audience with President Fillmore. Fortunately, a hotel steward ushered them into the restaurant where he knew several members of the president's cabinet and members of Congress dined. It was there Senator Briggs offered to arrange a meeting with the president. At that meeting, they smoked a specially made pipe which led to the Treaty of 1854, allowing tribes to stay on their land. Armstrong dismantled the pipe so it could never be used in any other ceremony. Unlike the Indian Wars elsewhere, Chief Buffalo and Chief Osagie were able to bring peace to their land.
What a story.
Wowie, wow! They should make a movie out of that.
Is the recording over yet?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Clark Gable getting up there in years. He can play Chief Buffalo.
Apparently not over yet.
All right, Skinny, my turn to do the National Guard thing.
Cool stuff, eh, cats and kittens? Let's keep the scene cool with this new hot wax. Here's Come Back My Love, doo-wop with the Wrens on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Oh, come back, my love, don't run away. Come back, my love, oh, come back and stay. I love you so well, I want you to know. I need your love so badly. Well, I said goodbye, I wondered why. All because of those silly lies. I love you so well, I want you to know. I need your love so badly. Thank you.
back and give me your chance.
Come back, my love, don't stay away.
And come back, my love. How about we do a twin? Spin. With Witchcraft by the Spiders on Kickin' KUWS.
Don't do that, please stop it. Please stop it now. You know I can't take it. Please stop it now. My head is spinning. A spell.
That was a twin, spin with Witchcraft and the Spiders. Some real god numbers there, cats. We were going to talk about our favorite TV programs, but it's just you and me.
Radio stations usually have recordings that aren't weird.
Time to cut out, cats and kittens. Coming up next is...
You just wait one second here.
Yeah, I'm with Skinny. You promised we could vote for our favorite TV program.
Yes, you promised at the beginning of the program.
Live, people.
Yeah, except for the pale guy there with the cape.
Yes, I do not like sunshine.
Anyway, you promised we could vote for our favorite TV program. You said that at the start of the show.
Nobody remembers what I said at the beginning.
And you expect to be a trusted and reliable friend of the listening audience?
Not really. I play rock and roll, remember?
I vote for Douglas Edwards' Nightly News and Ed Murrow's See It Now.
Newsmen are so predictable. What does the museum curator favor?
The test pattern is always interesting, but my favorite is You Are There with Walter Cronkite on Sunday afternoon. There was the fall of Troy, but the most disturbing was the Salem witchcraft trials. Terrifying.
Thing of it is, you were there.
Yes. I mean, no, of course not.
I like Saturday mornings. Cartoon Carnival, cleverly spelled with K's. Then tales of the Texas Rangers and Buffalo Bill, the greatest fighter of them all. Buffalo Bill Jr. rides the road to adventure. It's going to be the Saturday morning matinee for free.
My vote is for Mr. Wizard. Educational yet entertaining experiments. I'm president of the local chapter of the Mr. Wizard Science Club.
Yep, and you got the scars to prove it. Now me, I like Joe Palooka. He's a man's man. He even punched out Nazis in WW2.
You're more predictable than Lou.
Hey, don't be calling me predictable, you.
Let me tell you something.
Slacker!
We'll be back same time, same dog pond. The good Lord willing, and we're not all recorded. For Lou Martin, the curator, Joe and the colonel, this is Tim Michaels rocking and rolling your world, baby.
You know, I also like that Liberace guy. I mean, great piano player.
Yeah.
Wears funny clothes, though.
But he makes you tingle all over.
That's me for
you. You've been listening to Radio Superior 1955, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Jim Packer, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1955 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
Are you ready?
You bet your bitch.
You leave my mother out of this.
No, I'm talking about your dog.